The company 0x4447 builds products to increase standardization and security in AWS organizations. And they do this with automated pipelines that use well-structured projects to create secure, easy-to-maintain, and fail-tolerant solutions. One of those is their VPN product, built on top of the popular OpenVPN project, which has no license restrictions. You're only limited by the network card in the instance. To learn more, visit snark.cloud/deploy-and-go. That's snark.cloud/deploy-and-go, all one word.
The first time I gave my myth of multi-cloud talk, I pointed out that a common fear used by cloud doubters, one of which I used to be, was what happens when your cloud provider slaps a zero onto the end of the price tag. My rejoinder to that has been that we have over a decade of them not doing that exact thing. It's fine. The next week, Google promptly raised its Map API pricing by up to 14x. In future versions of that talk, I had to put a Google-shaped asterisk next to that point, but okay, it happens. Cloud is hard, pricing is harder. Naming services well is apparently impossible, but that's out of scope for today's post. Every company gets a mulligan every now and then. And now Google Cloud has apparently decided to once again increase pricing, this time for certain types of load balancing, data transfer, and storage. And I'm starting to think they aren't exactly here for the hunting, to reference a particularly ribald joke. So let's start by examining their blog post. Does it say that it's a price increase? Not exactly. The actual changes are convoluted enough that to effectively understand the impact of them, I, a cloud economist, would have to go to some effort to model them out. I can therefore save significant time by saying it's obviously a price increase, because if it were a net price decrease, then they wouldn't put that data inside of a confusing page link from a blog post. They'd scream about it in the headline. The various ways around the increase, special contracts with Google, committed spend locked in before the pricing changes take effect, etc., are cold comfort. As an industry, we've seen a decade and a half of anecdata about a fundamental tenet of the cloud adoption tsunami sweeping the global economy. Specifically, that if you build something in the cloud, it will over time become more stable, more capable, and if the price changes, it will be a reduction instead of an increase. We now have clear evidence that that tenet is in fact untrue in Google's case and not to be depended upon. So why would a customer care? If I launch a paid tier of Twitter for pets and decide that I'm going to charge each user $9.99 a month, that price isn't generally something I've arbitrarily picked out of thin air like I did the central conceit behind the ridiculous example company. It bakes in things like Apple's cut of subscriptions on the App Store, my overhead costs to run the company, and how much it costs me to serve my customers over the course of a month. While many companies don't have a great grasp on their unit economics, and I assure you at the Duckbill Group, I've talked to a bunch of them, those hazy points are generally around not being sure how to allocate the cost of shared resources. They are not around we're losing money on every transaction. But when your cloud provider changes pricing dimensions and/or raises prices, that's exactly what happens. I've often said that cost and architecture are the same thing when it comes to cloud, and this is a particularly poignant example of that tenet. Customers design architectures and, by extension, products based in no small part upon how they have to pay for the underlying service usage themselves in order to deliver those products. If a customer designed pricing around accessing a Google Cloud storage bucket at no cost, and now those changes mean that there's a per gigabyte cost once they're in effect, then there's a potential for customers to have built a thing that's suddenly no longer viable for them to sell.
This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing, and when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that, but what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems. Or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vulture Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. But you don't have to take my word for it, with an exclusive offer for you. Sign up today for free and receive $100 in credits to kick the tires and see for yourself. Get started at vulture.com/morningbrief. That's VULTR.com/morningbrief.
The most galling part here is that Google's general responses around criticism of changes like this is how small of a change it is for the overwhelming number of customers. They'll work with existing customers to find solutions, etc. That doesn't solve the actual problem that Google just enthusiastically inflicted upon itself. Those rejoinders don't account at all for the frankly stupendous damage that's been inflicted upon their future prospects. And it all starts when one founder or CIO turns to another over drinks and says, "Hey, what cloud should I use?" The data shows that most users type Google response isn't going to work here because the conversations that this manifests within are ones you're not invited to, Google. These are where the real decisions are made. As one of those people who gets asked questions like this from time to time, my answer now has to account for, well, today's pricing is great, but Google has demonstrated a pattern of changing the deal down the road in a way that AWS never has. The great things that Google has going for it, such as ease of use or its thoughtful, opinionated design of many of its services, all pale in comparison to, but you might not have a viable business after their next pricing revision. This isn't just a problem for small companies either. The thing that large enterprises crave in their platform is stability going hand in glove with predictability. This recent change resounds of Google simply not getting it, and that so thoroughly undercuts the very delicate messaging they've been putting forward with great care up until this point that I almost wonder if it's the precursor to a pivot away from serving the enterprise cloud market entirely. I have no insight into the internal economics of how Google Cloud makes its money, but I really can't fathom that these pricing changes are significant enough to justify setting fire to its reputation the way that it just has. I've been looking for the aspect that I've been missing, and I'm just not seeing it no matter where I look. Instead, I'm seeing customers of all shapes and sizes looking at this change with confusion and horror. Google's usual defenders are nowhere to be found. I suppose this ushers in an era I was hoping to avoid. When describing the cloud provider choices, Google's new description is invariably going to be, "Google Cloud is great, but..."
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.